Tax collectors getting closer, still we have fun. There's nothing surer, the rich get rich and the poor get poorer. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? Don't we have fun?
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Craig Holman, the Government Affairs Legislative Representative for Public Citizen, where he works on Capitol Hill on campaign finance and governmental ethics. Previously, he was Senior Policy Analyst at the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Craig Holman.
Good to be here, Ian.
And tell me, Craig, about I think it was a Fourth Circuit court. I'm not sure which federal court has now ruled against American Crossroads political strategies or Crossroads GPS to make their donor list public. And I believe the White House has weighed in as well. Where does it stand?
At this point, the lower court ruling still stands, but it's being appealed. So quite frankly, we're probably not going to have a resolution, a full resolution of this until after the election. However, right now, at this point, the lower court ruling still stands. There hasn't been any kind of injunction against the lower court ruling. So if Crossroads GPS or the Chamber of Commerce or other groups decide to do electioneering communications, which means ads within 60 days of the election that don't actually say vote for or vote against, but they discuss candidates and target that candidate's constituency, they are subject to the disclosure requirements. They'd have to disclose their donors. What we're seeing happen is most of these groups have then stopped their electioneering communications and are switching to what remains still secret forms of advertising, and that's, believe it or not, express advocacy. If they do flat-out campaign ads that say vote for, vote against, elect, they can do that still, pay for that with their corporate sponsors, and not have to disclose the donors. So that's the status. We're seeing a number of these groups switching from electioneering communications to direct express advocacy ads. So even though the ruling is great, it really hasn't caused much of a bump when it comes to the spending in the 2012 campaigns, the secretive corporate slush fund spending in the 2012 campaigns.
So does that mean then that the 501c4s, is that what you're saying, that they're untouched and that the others, the more open ones that have to reveal their donors, they're only subject to any sanction if they do direct electioneering? I'm trying to understand how bad this situation is, because what you just told me suggests that it's out of control.
Well, it's absolutely out of control, but the distinguishing factor between what has to be disclosed or who has to disclose what depends on the type of the campaign ad they run. If they're a 501c4 or even a super PAC for that matter, if they run that type of electioneering communications, right now the lower court ruling stands that they have to disclose their donors. If they do the more express advocacy, vote for, vote against, elect, they don't have to disclose their donors. So really the distinguishing feature largely is the type of campaign ad that they run. And by the way, I want to point out, I mean, it's a very easy shift for all these groups. The Chamber of Commerce has traditionally preferred to do electioneering communications rather than, say, vote for a certain candidate, because they've always claimed that, you know, they're just doing issue advocacy and they're not really doing electioneering. Well, it doesn't take any amount of work to change those electioneering communication ads and add the word vote for in it and run them as a direct campaign ad. And that's exactly what the Chamber of Commerce has decided to do. It's an easy shift for them to make, but it's interesting because it really exposes the chamber for what they've always been doing all along, and that is running campaign ads.
Well, Craig Holman, these issue ads that they do, that they don't expressly tell you who to vote for, but they tell you everything else, and you'd have to be incredibly politically naive or even, you know, brain dead not to notice who they're really advocating for. So as far as I can see, the barn door's open and the horse is way down the paddock on that one. But what's interesting here is that this coming weekend, candidate Romney is having this big posh weekend donors retreat that's going to feature Karl Rove and many of the vice presidential hopefuls, along with Condoleezza Rice and James Baker, Mary Matlin, Bill Kristol, Fred Barnes, and of course all of the big Republican Party donors are going to be there to talk strategy. The New York Jets owner, Woody Johnson, who's the chairman of Romney's New York finance operation, calls the retreat very, very important for the campaign. So if Karl Rove is showing up to hang out for the weekend in a Utah resort with the candidate, isn't that crossing the line? I mean, I don't understand how they can maintain this fiction of super PACs saying that they're not directly affiliated with the campaign.
One would think that would cross the line, wouldn't you? Ian, you point out another huge mythology we have going on when it comes to our campaign finance laws in 2012. These outside groups, super PACs and the 501Cs that are spending on campaigns, are technically allowed to spend unlimited amounts of money supporting or opposing candidates as long as they don't coordinate with the campaigns. The problem is the definition of coordination. First of all, we're leaving it up to the Federal Election Commission, which is the agency that defines coordination, and they've come up with an extremely narrow definition in which it would actually have to involve mutual discussions between the candidate and the outside group, where the candidate is essentially instructing the outside group where to run campaign ads and what to say. An extremely narrow definition. That isn't how any of these outside groups operate. What they do is they bring in the former staff of the campaign, and the staff who understands where things have to, where the campaign ads are supposed to run and what they're supposed to say, and they share vendors. Political ad buyers who buy the campaign ads will be the same people buying the campaign ads for the campaign for Mitt Romney as for Karl Rove's Crossroads group and the outside group. So all this coordination is done very easily and almost very, you know, in the open. I mean, you're talking about this fundraising event where Romney's going to be sitting around explaining what his campaign is going to do, and you're going to have Karl Rove sitting there taking notes. You know, Karl Rove's going to say he was never instructed by Romney to, you know, run a certain campaign ad in a certain state, but he's going to sit there and take notes as to where the competitive states are and what the message is supposed to be. I mean, this is coordination by any other name. It's just the Federal Election Commission won't call it that. And then what makes things even more difficult, Ian, is the Federal Election Commission is an agency that has three Democrats and three Republicans sitting on it. And the Republicans, under the leader of Commissioner Don McGahn, really don't believe in the campaign finance law. And so they consistently vote their block of three commissioners against enforcing the law when there is obvious violations of the coordination rules. Without a four-vote majority, no decision can be made by the FEC. So as a result, we've seen FEC deadlocks just stymie the enforcement of the laws. So even if we did have a clear definition of coordination, this election agency won't enforce it anyway.
Again, I'm speaking with Craig Holman, the Government Affairs Legislative Representative for Public Citizen, where he works on Capitol Hill on campaign finance and governmental ethics. And we're talking about this big retreat that candidate Romney has coming up this weekend, starting on Friday in Deer Valley, Utah. It's a homecoming for the candidate Romney, and his top aides, of course, will be there along with all of his advisors. It'll be coordinated by Mike Leavitt, the Utah governor, who has been tapped as Romney's head of his transition team to the White House. And it's been touted by the campaign as a retreat, as a way to reward the top performing bundlers. And they've, outraised Obama, $76.8 million in May, to $60 million for Obama. And the whole purpose of this meeting is to obviously coordinate the campaign with the money that's pouring in. So it's not just Karl Rove who's crossing the line here by having this fictional disconnect between the candidate and the super PAC that he runs. This is a meeting of all of the heavy hitters, all of whom are giving to super PACs. So this is a bigger fiction, but you're saying that even though they'd be breaking the law, there's nothing you can do about it because the Republicans on the FEC will block any enforcement of the law.
That's right. We're not going to see enforcement, even if there is obvious coordination going on. The votes of the Federal Election Commission, ever since Don McGahn was appointed essentially by Senator Mitch McConnell, who does not believe in campaign finance laws, once he appointed Don McGahn onto the commission, the number of deadlock votes have increased eightfold. Literally, Don McGahn has effectively shut down the elections agency when it comes to the campaign cop on the beat here. We no longer have anyone monitoring and enforcing the law. And people like Karl Rove, Adelson, and others fully realize that we've just entered the unregulated Wild West of money and politics. And they could pretty much do anything they want to at this point.
Well, it looks like this whole weekend is a great opportunity for them to really coordinate. You've got all of the big donors. You've got all of the strategists like Karl Rove. You've got all of the big heavy hitters in the Republican Party like Condoleezza Rice, Jeb Bush, Jim Baker. And then you've got all of the propagandists like Mary Matlin and Bill Kristol. And then, of course, on top of that, you've got all of the potential vice presidential candidates for Romney there as well. So this feels like the big donors, starting on Friday with their dinners and Saturday night with more dinners and dancing on Saturday evening, and then festivities continue through Sunday with golf. It sounds like there'll be ample opportunity for all of the above to coordinate. And I'm just... I'm
without
stunned.
Missing terms, Ian, that's exactly what this meeting is all about. It's to make sure that all the big money players in the 2012 elections that are supporting Romney know exactly what each other is doing, know exactly where the money is needed, know exactly what the message is all about. This is to get everybody on the same page to, take on Obama and the Democrats in Congress in the 2012 elections. You know, just to highlight how closely coordinated all these groups are, you know, if you take a look at some of the outside groups, you've got Crossroads. Karl Rove originally set up Crossroads as American Crossroads, a super PAC. The super PAC, as a registered political action committee, actually has to disclose its donors. And so he noticed he was pulling in some big money from wealthy individuals, corporate moguls, but he wasn't getting the corporate money. So he set up Crossroads GPS as a 501c that doesn't have to disclose any money that they get. And that's where all the corporations are pumping their money. Crossroads GPS has become the major fundraiser of the whole Crossroads entity. Just last year, it raised about $77 million compared to $46 million by American Crossroads. And then these Crossroads groups have the same post office address as Norm Coleman's American Action Network. They've got the exact same post office address. They hire Michael Lubke, who used to run Americans for Job Security, another one of these electioneering outside groups, to do their ad placements for all these entities together: American Action Network, Crossroads GPS, American Crossroads. And Michael Lubke is also hired by the Republican Party to place ads for the Republican Party. I mean, this is how closely intertwined these networks are. To view them as independent expenditures and outside groups is a complete myth. This is a highly coordinated insider ball game going on here, paid for largely by billionaires and millionaires.
And American corporations who are able to hide from their consumers their political bias. You know, their Target got into trouble up in Wisconsin for supporting some right-wing candidate, and they quickly distanced themselves from that. So American corporations are concerned that they've got half of their customers are Democrats and half of them Republicans, and they don't want to offend one half or the other. But if these corporate CEOs are able to secretly give money to the Republicans, then they're off the hook.
That's right. Just to clarify the technical differences between the two types of outside groups. You know, one is super PACs like American Crossroads, and since they have to register with the Federal Election Commission as a PAC, they do disclose their donors. So that's not where you see the corporate money go. Instead, that's where literally the billionaires who don't mind their name being used in these identified with supporting a certain candidate go. The corporations go to the 501Cs. And then, you know, an easy trick, by the way, for a corporation like a Wall Street bank to launder its money is it puts it in a 501C, such as a Crossroads GPS, which is a 501C, and then Crossroads GPS will make a contribution to American Crossroads, the super PAC. So when the super PAC discloses its donors, we no longer know that the money came from any particular bank or company. Instead, all we know is it came from Crossroads GPS. So the money essentially has become invisible in American politics. And, you know, just to give you some numbers, after we passed the McCain-Feingold law out here in 2002, we set up a system of full disclosure of where all the money's coming from. We literally had 100% disclosure of donors in 2004, 2006. Immediately following the Citizens United decision, that fell to 50% in 2010. And now corporations are very, very familiar with how they can hide their money. And so we're going into the 2012 election with a much, much lower rate of disclosure. Literally, this is an election where we've gone full circle back to the robber baron eras when corporate secret slush funds are what's being used to buy our politicians.
Again, I'm speaking with Craig Holman, the Government Affairs Legislative Representative for Public Citizen, where he works on Capitol Hill on campaign finance and government ethics. Now, why is the White House then joining in to force this this court judgment against Karl Rove and Crossroads? They obviously don't have any weight in this. I mean, if it all comes down to the fact that the courts are already ruled that they have to disclose their donors, and they've appealed it, so they're refusing to, because of the appeal, they're refusing to release the donors. So what's the point of the White House there? Is that just they're just trying to score political points, or is there any way that there can be any enforcement?
The complaint with the Federal Election Commission, by the way, follows on the heels of an identical complaint that Public Citizen filed with the Federal Election Commission. And this complaint was filed by the Obama campaign, not the White House itself. It was filed by the Obama campaign. And the purpose of it is to highlight the fact that all these groups are evading disclosure. I know the Obama campaign, just like Public Citizen, does not expect this Federal Election Commission, under the leadership of Don McGahn, to suddenly say, okay, we now realize that we're not carrying through with our mission to implement the campaign finance law and disclose all the donors, and so we've changed our mind. I don't expect that to happen. I'm sure Obama does not expect that to happen. What we are all trying to do is make sure every American understands what's going on in this campaign. I mean, we are going to be inundated with television ads and radio ads, especially as we get within the, you know, the couple months of the election. And we're not going to know who's paying for all this. It's important that every American voter know that the campaign finance law is being widely evaded everywhere, and that most of this money is very likely coming from the corporations that have most at stake. And those corporations are the industries that have been subject to regulation recently. In other words, Wall Street, the healthcare industry, and the oil industry as well.
Well, just in closing, Greg Holman, just to clarify some of this, because I think there's some confusion in the public about Citizens United being responsible for all of these super PACs. They're not really, are they? There were two other rulings that have been equally damaging that haven't gotten much attention. The Arizona ruling by the Supreme Court striking down an Arizona law that did level the playing field in terms of money for candidates. And then there's a lower court ruling that has opened up the field for super PACs and the 501c4s, right?
Yes, you're talking about the SpeechNow.org ruling, but I want to clarify that those rulings are, especially the SpeechNow.org, is directly tied to the Citizens United. It was a lower court in SpeechNow.org that was saying, well, since the Supreme Court ruled in Citizens United that outside spending poses no danger of corruption, we're therefore going to strike down any contribution limits to outside money. And it was based entirely on Citizens United. You know, make no mistake about it. Citizens United has set the entire tone for the collapse of reasonable limits on money in politics and the collapse of disclosure of money that's behind all the campaign ads. Let's put blame where it's due, and it's due on those five justices in the Citizens United case.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Craig Holman.
It was a pleasure, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Craig Holman, the Government Affairs Legislative Representative for Public Citizen, where he works on Capitol Hill on campaign finance and governmental ethics. Previously, he was Senior Policy Analyst at the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back with award-winning documentary filmmaker Eugene Jarecki talking about his latest film, The House I Live In.
It's all gone eventually, trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing, fashion, designer clothes, lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time, watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine